This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. It's the first Friday of the month, of course, and that means it is non-farm payroll day, the latest US jobs numbers, and hiring on your side of the pond, Nick, has remained solid, despite all the turmoil from the tariff policy, with employers adding 177,000 jobs in April, which was actually higher than expected, and the unemployment rate was unchanged. So was this good news?
This was good news. And Johnny, it's been an interesting week, because what's so fascinating about markets is that they have a tendency to overshoot in both directions very often. And so we've seen this rush to the door, this fear that has stricken markets in the last few months. And as you mentioned, the forecast was much lower than where it actually came out today for the jobs added. We'll get into some company earnings later in the podcast that also were upbeat. But there's been a slew of good news here. And it's in some ways, we have seen some material weakening in the hard data. But perhaps this is a good example of not as much turmoil as people maybe had kind of priced in their head, right? So there's this big fear that tariffs are going to massively change hiring and that CEOs are going to completely start laying off. And well, what we actually saw is in April, which is a very, you know, when we take a, just think a moment for what that data is telling us. April, we had a lot of tariff trauma that was headline news all the time, and clearly, you know, impacted everyone, including CEOs who make these decisions. And yet, within that same month, we saw upbeat hiring compared to forecasts. So again, this is a great example of how the headlines can be very scary, but the data does matter at the end of the day. And we did get a relatively upbeat figure here.
On the other hand, although the latest figures have raised some hopes that the country may be able to weather all the uncertainty from the tariff policy without suffering a painful economic downturn, we should perhaps be cautious, because the impact of all the sweeping import taxes, the tariffs announced by President Trump, are likely to take more time to be fully felt. So do you think the small number of weeks we had to digest it in April and the reaction from consumers, from producers, and so on, will take a bit more time to bake in?
I think so. And I think it's just like it would be a little bit too silly to completely write off any possibility that you know, that the economy would hold up okay in all of this. I think it's equally you know, probably not a great idea to think that this is all behind us and that it's all good from here. There are, as you mentioned, longer term impacts that tariffs can have. They can change dynamics. Who's to say, you know, if there's a substantial change in the way trade is done, and other countries maybe not, they don't like it so much, maybe they find other ways to trade with other places, and maybe other places give them better deals. And that can, over time, really change the dynamic of trade. And who knows, maybe the U.S. becomes a little less centric to the global, you know, supply and demand stuff. So that's where things get interesting, is we'll continue to watch over time these same figures. Do we start to see a drop off in hiring? Do we start to see, you know, this is not something that is one and done. Trade wars can be multi-year. They can be, you know, resolutions to these things can take a long time. We could see deals this summer, but we may not. We may see significant deals being put off and maybe down the line a couple of years. And you know, maybe there's even the idea that Trump's here for 4 years, and maybe if China really gets frustrated with the situation, they say we're going to just wait for the next president. Maybe they'll like him better, right? So there, or her, you know, it's just a very interesting dynamic, is to think about, you know, how other countries could play the long game too.
Indeed. And some other good news we've had over the last 24 hours from a geopolitical point of view is the deal, the minerals deal between the United States and Ukraine. They finally put pen to paper. That gives Washington control over Kyiv's vast natural resources wealth. Now, the agreement creates what they're calling a reconstruction investment fund for Ukraine, which essentially gives Donald Trump a stake in the future of the country as he negotiates the end of the war. So this is encouraging, isn't it? Because it means that the US now has a stake in keeping the status quo in Ukraine. There's a more positive attitude coming from the Trump administration to Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, I think you actually put that really well. I mean, the idea is basically if you have more involvement from the United States, the challenge there for Russia is like, okay, well, they're back in the picture. Where just when it seemed like the US and you know, Ukraine were up in arms with each other and maybe we're going to part ways, well, a deal has been made. And that does, as you mentioned, brings the US back into the fold. And so there's a vested interest in keeping Ukraine's peace projections in the right direction and moving forward. And of course, obviously, it is a bit of a, you know, there's obviously controversy with everything, but people controversial about whether that is, you know, predatory or not. But regardless, the bigger picture is the U.S. will remain involved, that they have some stake, quite literally, in the success of that situation. And that perhaps that appeases a little bit of the endless spending that critics in the United States would say that was going on in U.S.-Ukraine kind of relations. So very interesting to see that. We actually see in the price of gold here in response to that, we've seen, you know, gold's high just around $3,500. We're now down $250 an ounce at 3,248. So, you know, $250 lower. So we've seen a good haircut on the price of gold here in response to this. Remember that gold tends to thrive on uncertainty geopolitically, and that kind of U.S. stability trade unwinding was also a very positive catalyst for gold. We now see a little bit more stability with a strong jobs print and some tension relief on some of the trade negotiations that we've been seeing. We also had some news, you know, U.S. and Canada may be on the right path as well. So there's a lot happening all at once, and any sort of progression in the trade war stuff is considered perhaps a negative catalyst for gold. Same with wartime stuff. Any sort of peace resolutions considered a negative for the price of gold as we go along.
And it does seem, dare I say it, that things have been almost pulled back from the brink from that tumultuous roller coaster that we had a few weeks ago. Things are settling down. It looks like deals are there to be done, trade deals between the US and India, apparently, Japan, Korea, United Kingdom, possibly, even the EU. So markets, I'm sure, are quite relieved about that. Talking of markets, we've seen some important earnings today, Nick.
We've seen a pretty consistent, this is part of the reason why the indices are actually doing quite well this week, is you had Apple produce great top and bottom line earnings. And beyond just Apple, we had Amazon also report very strong earnings on the top and bottom. Now, some of these stocks, they are, you know, there's very high expectations and announcements of certain products. I know for Apple, it's Apple AI, and where is that coming? And, you know, but we have to think, for Apple to put up these kind of numbers with no kind of rush to the store and buy it products out right now, it's very impressive that Apple still is able to put up this this really strong number. They did grow their revenues, their earnings. And we also add into the fold, you know, Google also had really good numbers. And then we had Microsoft was a, you know, smash hit. Microsoft yesterday was up over 10% at one point and now regaining those gains. So really nice 10% gain after or since the announcement of their earnings. That's a really impressive move for a very large company. These are trillion-dollar companies still growing aggressively, and that is a source of optimism for global markets, really.
With all this relatively positive news, Nick, do you think in terms of a future cut in rates by the Fed, that's going to be on hold for longer now?
I think so. I think that with the jobs data that came out today, I was actually looking at the FedWatch tool this morning. Seems like the most, we kind of moved the needle from June to July today with this jobs print. We basically are looking at very unlikely in May, 50-50 in June, and a slight lean further in July. Now, the July meeting is July 30th. So really, you know, you think it's May 2nd, we're recording this. July 30th, that's a couple months away, really. I mean, that's several weeks away. So no significant urgency. And I actually think that that is kind of where we want to be. I think that we don't want to see the Fed have to rush in and you know, rip open the briefcase and start cutting rates aggressively, right? We saw that last year in August. People were afraid of that. I don't know if you remember that, Johnny, but the big sell-off we saw in August, people were all sort of concerned. There was a big miss in NFP numbers. The market panicked, carry trade unwind. We saw the Fed almost look like they were going to come out and make an emergency rate cut. And all of a sudden, you know, that all flurried up. I don't think we really want to see that mix into what is already kind of a volatile time in markets.
Nick, on this side of the Atlantic, next week, we're going to hear from the Bank of England with its interest rate decision. And most think we're going to see a cut in rates from 4.5% to 4.25%. Would you ally with that?
I think most likely. I mean, that's the trend, is we're seeing disinflation. We're seeing low oil prices, right? That's something that helps all central banks with which is a pretty across the board. Everybody wants to try and cut rates. It's just a matter of how can we get there. So you have the Bank of England next week. We also, you know, we've had some relatively upbeat numbers for the Bank of England, but overall, I think the trend for most central banks is still to cut. We also, next week, just looking at the radar here, we've got ISM services PMI for the US. You've got Kiwi unemployment rate, or New Zealand unemployment rate, coming out. We'll see how that impacts currencies across the board. Then we have next week, May 7th, that Fed meeting that I just got done discussing. Unlikely to see a rate cut there, but the press conference will be very interesting. Same thing with, as you mentioned, Thursday, we hear from the Bank of England. And then on Friday, we hear from Governor Bailey in the morning there. And then we get some employment data out of Canada. So busy week next week.
But it's a public holiday here on Monday, I'm pleased to say. So it's a slightly shorter working week here in the UK. But until next time, Nick, thank you very much and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.